Thanks to this year's sponsors, AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder, Vader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Six Cent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Fernie Brewing, and Print Print.
Come out to Shindig this Tuesday, November 15th to see Pocket Milk, Crumb, and Devours.
Do you have no direction?
Are you trying to make sense of this absurd existence that we experience on a daily basis?
Do you wish to find meaning in this existential quagmire that is the daily grind?
Well, come on down to CITR for Volunteer Wednesdays from 11 to 1 p.m. every week and find your meaning in life. No experience is necessary, so what are you waiting for, Sisyphus? Life is knocking.
Now in its 16th year, Media Democracy Days brings together media makers, activists, and educators to celebrate independent media and social change. Media Democracy Days is happening this year at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library on November 15th and 16th. The event includes a community radio takeover of the Inspiration Lab on the 15th and 16th at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library, and a full day of hands-on workshops, discussions, and collaboratively determined events on November 19th at SFU Vancouver's Harbour Centre campus. This year's keynote speaker is Ryan McMahon of the Red Man Laughing podcast. The event is free to attend. Visit 2016.mediademocracydays.ca for a full program.
Guys, you are listening to All Access Pass. After this song, we'll be chatting with you.
It's hard to think with a squashed brain. let's hope that it don't leave a permanent stain. I can't talk over all that racket. What's there to feel but totally whacked? But we don't got time to wallow around in it, though it don't look so far away from where we are. I wanna put out a cigarette, leave it behind, hold you real close, take you by the hand. We'll walk away.
Hey guys, you are listening to All Access Pass. Welcome back. I am Desi. I'm the Access Collective Coordinator for All Access Pass. On our show, we speak on issues and topics surrounding accessibility on and off UBC campus. And the show is created by the awesome, lovely Access Collective volunteer team. As usual, we are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, occupied, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This week's topics, we're going to be talking to the Vision Health Volunteers Club at UBC, and then we're going to be discussing and pondering what exactly accessibility is going to look like in the States now that Trump is in power, or is about to become in power come January. And lastly, we're just going to continue talking about the changes to the persons with disability benefits in BC. So before we get into that, we have a song for you. This is Go by Grimes featuring Blood Diamonds.
Thank you.
Hey guys, and you are back with All Access Pass. So just this Wednesday, we sat down with UBC Health Vision volunteers. Take a listen. UBC Vision Health Volunteers Club. I'm here with two of their executives. If you guys want to just introduce yourselves, let us know a little bit about your club as well.
Hey, I'm Melissa. I'm the Vice President of Vision Health and Volunteers. And what we do is we try and connect students on campus with volunteer opportunities to help out the visually impaired community. We try and raise awareness about vision health conditions and get students involved in their communities.
Hi, I'm Shanna. I'm the President of Vision Health Volunteers. We started this club because we wanted to really shift the focus from just fundraising and things like that to really getting out there and directly volunteering with the people you want to help in our community. So for us, that means working with people that are visually impaired or blind, one-on-one or in groups and things like that. So that was something, a niche we saw that wasn't fulfilled so far.
Ah, nice. And you said you guys just started, is it? Or...
Yeah, we were kind of working on this idea starting like the beginning of, I guess, last school year, but the process to like start up a club and officially become a club, so we didn't really get totally become official club until I think January of last year.
Well, nice. Congratulations. And kind of like what made you want, like what inspired you to like want to do this? I think you were kind of talking about that before. Like what brought up the idea?
Okay, yeah, so I'm personally involved with blindness because I do some research in neuro-ophthalmology, but after, you know, doing research, you get kind of bored of what you're doing.
And, right, right.
So I said, you know, let's go volunteer with someone who's actually going to be impacted by this research. So I got into that. I think I just did it to motivate myself, but I ended up really seeing a need for volunteering.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. That's cool that you wanted to take your research and kind of like materialize it. Yeah. So what are some of like the goals or aims you guys hope to achieve this coming year?
Well, this year I think we're focused a lot on breaking down some misconceptions about vision impairment and blindness. I know a lot of people might not realize that visually impaired and blind people are very capable in doing everyday activities. Sometimes that's a misconception. And other things, even playing fast-paced sports such as goal ball. We actually had a goal ball demonstration last month on campus where some individuals from the national goal ball team came out and just showed some students what the sport is all about. So goal ball is a sport that can be played by the visually impaired. The ball rattles so that they can hear where the ball is coming from, and we taped string to the ground so that they can feel where the boundaries are.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I was looking at some photos of goal ball. It looks crazy hard. Have you guys ever watched it? Or
we have watched it. Actually, when Shanna was first introducing the idea of vision health volunteers to me, she took me to a goal ball game to really, and it blew my mind. I had no idea. I actually never really thought too much about vision impairment before because it was something that didn't really affect my life too much.
Mm-hmm.
But when Shanna took me out and I saw all these people and I started to see, yeah, you're right, there is a need for volunteers. It's like people don't know too much about this. I didn't realize that, like, they could play way better than I could. See the ball coming at me.
The reflexes needed to like to play goal ball, it just seems like it's not an easy sport for sure. So you guys are saying you have some like really, like you guys do some really cool stuff throughout the year. I think you were telling me about your, was it music therapy program?
Yes, our music therapy program is something new that we're doing this year. So that's the first time we're doing it. The idea is to get out in the community to different seniors' homes, mostly ones with individuals who are visually impaired, and basically getting a group together to sing Christmas carols and
People
together through music, because that is something that everyone can participate in, whether you're visually impaired or sighted. And there are studies have shown that music therapy can improve motor skills and through auditory cues. It can be an outlet for social expression and improve social interaction. So we thought that's a really good idea to bring out into our
community. Sounds nice.
Yeah, so we are collaborating with a group called Music Outreach Society. So something fun we want to try is besides engaging people here in our UBC community, we want to get youth engaged. So some high school students from a couple of different high schools, I think from North End, Vancouver, I forgot where the other city they're from, and they're all going to come out and collaborate together, which I think will be fun because now we're starting to spread our reach beyond just our school.
Nice, nice. That sounds really, really exciting. And you, when was that you said?
I think that's, we're doing our like practice late November, and we're going to do that, the actual concert in December.
Oh, nice.
So the format of the performance is going to, it's two parts. So the first part is for volunteers with solo performances or like as small groups. They can come up and perform something if they like. And then the second part is just a group choir performance. Everyone's just having a good time and we're trying to sing songs that most of the audience will know so that we can get more people involved. And so that's the idea behind that. So you don't need any previous musical
experience. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, awesome.
Fun opportunity
awesome.
To get out in the community and actually have some interaction with people.
Nice. Nice. And then as well, something you're doing on campus, you were saying you're doing your sighted guide training, is that?
Yeah, so right now we are lately been releasing some opportunities that we collaborate with, like some bigger charities. So say someone that's vision impaired is looking for a company to take them to like you know Fright Night or to a concert then they get, you know they get provided a free ticket and stuff as long as they get trained as a sighted guide, so meaning just some tips and tricks on you know how to help someone that's visually impaired you know get around. Like can you think like you want to have a buddy that's you know visually impaired, you're going to a restaurant together, like what are you supposed to do and like what can you do to just help them get used to a new environment and stuff like that. So
oh awesome. Have you guys done like some sighted guide training before or?
Yeah, but it's honestly so simple. I think after like 2 hours you kind of get the gist
of it. Awesome. Awesome. So like kind of like what are when you were learning like how to do like sight guide training, what were some of the things maybe you didn't realize you had to take into consideration or like some positives you took away from being a sighted guide tour?
I think what's fun is usually every place I've done it, they always start you with a partner and one of them will be blindfolded and then you actually try it and see what you're like what you want to know. So I think something I remember learning is taking them to the bathroom. You don't have to help them like in the bathroom because you know they know what they're doing, but sometimes it's really helpful to just point out the sink is like to the right of the toilet.
Right, right.
Just like small things.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Like things you wouldn't necessarily think about, I guess, in a sense, if you're able-bodied. Okay, awesome. That sounds like a really good way to get involved, and so anyone can get involved, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And then you as well, you were mentioning, was it White Cane Week? Is that this semester or next semester?
White Cane Week is next semester. And it's actually something that's put on by the Canadian Council of the Blind. We were hoping to do, that's a week in February. So we
awesome.
Were hoping to do some events during that week just to raise awareness about some of the issues that confront people with vision loss. So that was another opportunity that we're hoping to have the National Goalball team come out to campus again and just demonstrate what they do because it was really fun the first time and I think giving students another opportunity to come out would be a good thing because again, the idea behind White Cane Week is to raise awareness and show that people who are visually impaired are still very capable and break down some misconceptions. So that is another reason we're having a goalball again that week.
And you said that was in February.
That's in February.
Awesome. And do you know why it's called White Cane Week? Is it?
White Cane Week is White Cane's actually what people use to get around.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's kind of a cute name. It's like like blindness awareness.
Yeah. Awesome. And then as well, so that will be in February. And you said that the sighted guide training, that is when?
We're hoping to do one in November and another one in January.
Oh, awesome. So, like, if you can't make it to one, you can hopefully make it to the other. Awesome. So, yeah, I guess, like, just coming off of that, just I know, Shanna, you were kind of speaking about your experience and your involvement with the club. But, Alyssa, like, what made you want to get involved? Like, do you have any personal connections to helping people with sight impairment? Like,
I think I actually got involved with this because of Shanna. Shanna was just so inspired by it all. She has this idea. She wants to make a difference and change the world. And she comes to me with this idea, and she's all like, you know, no, I'll show you. I'll show you this need for it. And after I had gone around with her to a couple different events, I went to the goal ball game, and then I also did some volunteering with CNIB. And I saw, oh, you know, this is something to get involved with. And I guess I kind of shared her vision with that, and then I helped her create this club.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so kind of like a personal question posed at both of you. So what so far has been like your favorite thing to get involved with?
For me personally, I went to summer camp with a bunch of kids that were blind, visually impaired, and that was adorable. So I mostly was with the group that was like five.
Oh, that's adorable.
But
cute.
Also, it was really fun because the other group were people around like, you know, 18, 20, 25, mm-hmm. Which is kind of my age. So I was just hanging out with them as though I was just, you know, just one of them. Except they're always like teasing me about things because I'm always like spooked by all these like, you know, like forest sounds. I thought that was really fun to, you know, instead of just saying like, oh, blind people are like separate, you just kind of, you know, they're very like, it's like, I think I have them all friends now, they're all on my Facebook. I thought it was really cool to just really get such a personal connection and build a friendship.
Nice. And Alyssa, like favorite event, or like maybe even it hasn't happened yet, like a favorite event coming up maybe.
Well, I really enjoyed the goal ball event. It actually gave me a chance to try and play the game. So
oh, you played it. How did that go? How was that?
Well, for the first bit, I didn't know which way the ball was coming from. John came out to teach us, and I know one time he was just saying to me, oh, can't hear the balls coming from your left, because I had just dove onto my right side. It's actually very difficult. I'm amazed by some of these players. They're just so incredible at it.
Oh, yeah, you're like I was saying, like the reflexes you need is crazy. So I know you guys were mentioning some other, so like other ways to get involved, like with your club, if you want to help out with vision impairment, people with vision impairment on campus and beyond, like what kind of associations or groups can you kind of look to if you want to get involved?
Our biggest partner is CNIB because they're just like the biggest organization here in Canada.
And what does CNIB stand for? Sorry.
Canadian National Institute of the Blind. So our biggest thing we've been collaborating with at the beginning of the year is to, if you're interested in getting you know, a one-on-one experience with someone that's visually impaired, mostly of them are like seniors, but if you're interested in getting you know, a one-on-one personal connection with someone every week, you know, whether or not like you're interested in this as, you know, someone, a lot of people were interested in this as a healthcare experience for people that are interested in a career, but also just to get a perspective on a different life, we collaborated with CNIB to provide the kind of vision mate program, meaning that you're paired with someone matched with interest, so you know, you write down you're interested in writing, you're interested in running and sports, then you can match someone who's also interested in, you know, sports or interested
in running.
I think that's super fun, and it's also very flexible for schedules, which is great for students because like everyone's so like got crazy lives, but that's our big thing for.
So you said it was CNIB. Ah, yes. So CNIB stands for Canadian National Institute for the Blind. They have a really great website. They're located in Vancouver. So definitely another really cool way to get involved. As well, if you guys want to get involved with your club, can you guys kind of say like how, I know you guys have a Facebook, you have email.
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook, and on the Facebook there's a link to our website as well. And if you have any questions or you're interested in getting involved in any of the events that we mentioned here today, you can contact us at visionhealthvolunteers@gmail.com.
Oh, awesome. As well, I think that's it. I think that was all. Oh, just a quick reiteration of their events, their most recent events coming up. You said the first one was the music therapy program?
That's right. We're also having the sighted guide training end of November, so that one might come up first.
Okay, awesome. So something to keep an eye out for. You said so we can kind of look at your Facebook page to get more news on that.
That's right. You could also sign up for our newsletters on our website or on our Facebook group as well. There's a way to subscribe to that. And then that just, you get, it's not every week, it's maybe every 2 weeks, different newsletters with different volunteer opportunities that you can get involved in.
Oh, awesome.
And also just an update on what events are coming up.
Awesome. Okay, so just to end off, I want to thank you guys so much for coming into the station and talking with us. It's really cool to hear what you guys are doing on and off UBC campus. So yeah, thank you so much for coming into the station. Okay, and with that, we're going to head into a break. You're going to hear a song by Ivory Towers, who's a Vancouver visual artist. So we'll see you in a little bit. And after that, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Trump presidency and kind of what to expect with accessibility, the situation with accessibility under this upcoming Trump presidency.
Now in its 16th year, Media Democracy Days brings together media makers, activists, and educators to celebrate independent media and social change. Media Democracy Days is happening this year at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library on November 15th and 16th. The event includes a community radio takeover of the Inspiration Lab on the 15th and 16th at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library, and a full day of hands-on workshops, discussions, and collaboratively determined events on November 19th at SFU Vancouver's Harbor Center campus. This year's keynote speaker is Ryan McMahon of the Red Man Laughing podcast. The event is free to attend. Visit 2016.mediademocracydays.ca for a full program.
Okay, guys, welcome back to All Access Pass. You were just listening to Ivory Tower's song, Where We're From, the Birds Sing a Pretty Song. She is a Vancouver artist, and she was formerly half of the feminist electric duo Myths. So now we're going to be discussing Trump's win in the U.S. presidential election, what this kind of means for accessibility in the States. And, I mean, it is quite important over here, too. They are next door, and their policies towards accessibility issues and their lack of will have an effect on accessibility in Canada as well.
Certainly. I think a lot of what you see in Canadian politics is mapped around the expectation of what is possible within the States. There's a lot of ideological following. Even after Donald Trump's victory, Canadian politicians pontificating on how you could see a similar surge of the ideology that propelled him to the presidency in Canada as well, and certainly all over the world in many other places, how Trump's victory followed ideological surges in those places as well.
Yeah, definitely Trump's rise in popularity and his subsequent win was it's definitely more of a reflection of kind of the political atmosphere that's going on in the world right
now. Yeah, and it's also just fun to talk about.
Yeah. but messy, but then also kind of fun to talk about.
It is it's a hot topic, but it's you know, without saying one way or another, our specific feelings on the victory, it is certainly like an aberrant thing in American politics, and that is definitely like grounds for lots of discussion, and really not oriented, because again, whether you were for or against Donald Trump, it is like an aberrant victory, and you know, we're not really in the business of normalizing that, I think, so let's talk about it instead.
Exactly. So when me and my other collective member, Lauren, thank you again to Lauren for helping me with all this research, we're looking into Trump's approach, or more like lack of approach, to accessibility issues. We were super frustrated because he actually doesn't blatantly address accessibility in his campaign at all. In fact, none of the Republicans except for Jeb Bush actually address issues of disability in their campaign platform, which is a little bit worrying.
Mm-hmm. So I'm reading off of your and Lauren's research, but there are some interesting points here that Jeb Bush was interested in addressing accessibility with how he was planning on addressing a surrogate for the Affordable Care Act. That on the other end of the aisle, Hillary Clinton had some clear plans for continuing the growth of state aid, the expansion of the Affordable Care Act, lower prescription drug costs, that students with disabilities have access to education resources and support, universal preschool, 12 weeks of paid family medical leave, sort of, again, the expansion of the state in terms of providing for families which are considered as disadvantaged. And also, this it's written down here, published a comprehensive autism plan,
which I'm
interested in hearing about, because certainly Trump actually has addressed the subject in various
manners. That is Donald Trump. Yeah, for sure. So one of the biggest things with Hillary Clinton versus the Republican stance on accessibility was that she wanted to continue and expand the Affordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare. Whereas Trump and the other Republicans, they just wanted to kind of slash it and try something new. This is a little bit troublesome because the Accessible Care Act covers a lot of legal aspects of people with disabilities. One of the worries that, like, coming forward is, you know, Trump's insensitivity for accessibility. So he hasn't actually blatantly put anything legislation-wise in his campaign, but he has addressed disabilities in a rather troublesome and very problematic way.
There was a funny Onion article recently. And no, it's kind of like rote to talk about what's on the Onion. It's like, honestly, everyone, you know. But like, it was like, you know, after Trump's victory, it's like, headline, still not acceptable to act like Donald Trump.
Yeah,
in any,
exactly.
You know, it is like, I think Donald Trump is empowering for a lot of people because he says a lot of things which have been repressed by urges in society that a lot of people would suggest are liberal urges, left-wing urges, like
right.
PC culture, all of that. Him as a figure, as sort of this like gross masculine oozing, just sort of like ebullient individual, like it's empowering for a lot of people who feel that
their voices aren't heard,
their voices aren't heard, or that their voices are being quashed because of like out of like this overbearing respect for or like politeness around things like accessibility, things like ethnicity and religion.
Right. Yeah. And it, like, kind of speaking to, yeah, this oppressive need to like be more politically correct. But then he comes in here and he's just like saying all these things. Like in his campaign trail, he actually got in a bit of trouble. He openly mocked a New York Times reporter, Serge Kovalevsky, who has a physical disability. He's just, when he does address accessibility in his campaign trail, it's been kind of like on the spot and kind of more of a reality show way of doing things. I would play you the clip, but it's all over the internet. It's a little bit offensive too, but yeah. So kind of like going on that, one of the biggest things that he's kind of brought up in terms of accessibility is he calls autism an epidemic, and he's kind of been pandering to that that thought stream that like vaccines cause autism, and that autism is
an interesting way of putting it.
Thought stream, his general like unfiltered like. He panders to this idea that autism is an epidemic. It's increased over the years, and that that whole idea that kids shouldn't get vaccinated because they will cause autism.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is this very odd figure because he's, you know, coming into the position of presidency, he's actually been a very establishment-oriented candidate, very closely tied to the RNC, very closely tied to many congressional Republicans, and sort of like bringing to the forefront, of course, over the past decade with the successes of the far right in the United States, the Tea Party, grassroots Republicans, who share this sort of radical inclination towards conspiratorial ideas about, in which many cases, of course, in the past, and I'm not an expert on the subject by any means, so this could not even like be something that is far flung, but you know, the state is something that has experimented on its citizens, a social and biological level, and you know, in many communities, it's still believed that state institutions like even Planned Parenthood are organized around the basis of like repressing certain parts of the population. So it's an interesting thing that he's touching on that appeals to, again, like a wide swath of people. Wide swath of people beyond who you traditionally expect. And it's just one of those things where, you know, he's brought a lot of things which were not mainstream previously to an even greater degree of visibility and exposure.
Right. A lot of conspiracy thoughts and things like that. Yeah, he even said, like, in the Republican presidential debate just this September, speaking on this this idea that autism is an epidemic when in reality, like, it stayed about the same levels. Mm. It's not really like a pandemic that has just happened.
It also further pushes the sort of misunderstanding of like what you know that everyone is construed as neurotypical unless they have like some kind of sickness or condition.
Right.
That, you know, if you have autism, you're blighted with this incredible disease.
Right.
The reality is you just have a different set of, and again, I'm no expert, but like a different set of cognitive tools or, you know, a set of cognitive tools that are different from what is construed as normal. So again, the epidemic language is very troubling.
Yeah, it's very troubling to have the person coming into U.S. presidency coming forward with this kind of mentality, in a sense, especially with, so one of the biggest things that he does put on his campaign, that he did put on his platform that does directly affect people with accessibility issues is he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare. This is really problematic because the ACA bars insurers from excluding those with pre-existing conditions. So if you have a disability, they can't turn you away. You're legally protected. If this is removed, a lot of people with disabilities can be excluded, not protected by insurance. And it's basically because like when he does speak about it, he says that he doesn't like the large amount of money. Is this a large amount of money spent on the Affordable Care Act? So again, the skepticism towards like
big government spending.
Yeah, exactly.
And the infrastructure necessary to keep the ACA going.
Yeah, which is very problematic. And he extends that to like Medicaid. So Medicaid is how much money you receive from Medicaid is based on the state. It's based on federal funding, local advocates. So it fluctuates depending on the need. But what he wants to introduce is a block grant system. So it's just this flat line, same amount of money distributed to everybody, a lump sum, which does not allow for an increase in budget.
Right. So we're running out of time here, but there's this article that you and Lauren brought up by Ari Nieman, which seems very interesting. Would you be able to...
Yeah, so he wrote an amazing article. So Ari Nieman is the president of the Self-Advocacy Network, and he also served as President Obama's appointees to the National Council on Disability from 2010 to 2015. The article is titled, I am a disabled American. Trump's policies will be a disaster for people like me. A lot of our research came from his piece, and one of the biggest takeaways that he had was that his kind of forecast is that Trump's presidency will highlight the wrongdoings against accessibility rights, highlight them, put them into the public sphere, inform activists and policymakers that hopefully will then go into presidency in the next election after 4 years. So that's kind of his like bit of a positive and not positive twist on what he thinks is going to happen. And he uses the example of Bush's administration when Bush had the crusade against same-sex marriage, and then coming into Obama's administration, the legalization of same-sex marriage. So hopefully it will take that kind of awareness awareness of accessibility will take that kind of turn in the coming years. Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
So we're going to leave you guys now to leave you with a song. This is Wasting Time by Gender Poutine. They are a Canadian riot punk band. Hope you guys enjoy, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Cool.
Michelle Mangal, I'm the MLA for Nelson Creston and the NDP opposition spokesperson for social development.
Can you start by explaining for our listeners what policy changes are occurring to the disability payments and subsidized bus program since the 2016 budget has been released?
Sure. First, let me apologize to your listeners for my cold, sickly sounding voice. That's quite accurate. I have caught quite a terrible cold, but I'm always happy to be able to share what's going on in the legislature with people. So what we saw in Budget 2016 was the Liberal government and Christy Clark giving with one hand and taking away with the other. I remember being in the legislature, listening to the budget speech and the commitment to raise disability rates by $77, and I thought, thank goodness. It is about time. A raise to the rates is so long overdue. It hasn't happened in 9 years. And even at $77 increase, people with disabilities are still living below the poverty line, hundreds of dollars below the poverty line per month. But then I was shocked, because just moments after that announcement, the Minister of Finance went on to talk about a new fee for bus passes. Now, he talked about it like it had always been there. There had always been this $52 a month fee for bus passes, and that isn't true. There never had been that fee. What it was $45 a year in administration costs that people with disabilities would pay to get their annual bus pass. So what the government did, in a really roundabout way, was increased bus pass costs for people with disabilities by $624, thus clawing back the vast majority of the increase that they would see to their disability rates. Now, not everybody gets a bus pass. Some people have the alternative transportation subsidy. Well, this is going to get clawed back as well. I know for a lot of my constituents in rural areas, they would get that subsidy to pay for upfront. They would pay for their car insurance. They would pay for gas, or they would pay for other transportation methods. Well, now what's going to happen is if you have that form of transportation, the government's going to take $66 off of your check every month, so you'll be left with $11 of the increase. Now, if you choose not to have either forms of these transportation supports, you get the full $77 increase. So what that means is that people with disabilities are being forced to choose between getting their bus pass, getting the transportation supports that they need, or staying home. It's not a choice, right? So what, for people living in poverty, they're looking at possibly getting food with that $77. Many people with disabilities have very specialized diets, and the current rates do not allow them to meet the cost of those specialized diets. And let's be real, food banks do great work, soup kitchens do great work, but we all know that they are never able to meet demand, and they will be the first ones to say that. So when we have a situation where people are being put in a position to choose to stay homebound so they can get the food that they need, and that's the kind of choice that this government has put on them.
Do you think that there are motivating factors behind this government's decision to make these changes that you think have not been disclosed?
Well, what we have is rates haven't been increased for 9 years. And heading into the next election, the Liberals need to look like they're actually doing something about poverty in this province. But they don't really want to do anything. And if they did, we'd have a poverty reduction plan. We're the only province without one. So on one hand, they give this rate increase to make it look like they're doing something. But because they don't really want to be doing something, they use all kinds of rhetoric and all kinds of spin to suggest that this rate increase is about choice for people with disabilities to choose whatever transportation option they want, and then they take it away. So this is purely giving with one hand and taking with the other in an effort to make it look like they're doing something good, but they're not.
We have seen large rallies, predominantly last Wednesday, and I know they've continued across BC, specifically at the legislature in Victoria and several different locations across Greater Vancouver. So this is a really large public outcry over these changes, and you and your party have expressed major concerns. How has your opposition to the Bus Pass clawback been received by both the public and then by the BC Liberals?
Well, first, what's clear is that the public is very supportive of providing people with disabilities low-cost to no-cost bus passes. We believe our society has come to a place where we understand the importance of inclusion and removing barriers that create exclusion. The bus pass program has been fundamentally important to inclusion in community for people with disabilities. Fundamentally important. It is what gives them the freedom and the independence to get where they need to go. So, no surprise, people around this province are shocked and appalled that Christy Clark would go after their bus passes in order to balance the budget. Heck, she could have still balanced the budget by giving people their bus passes, by letting people keep their low cost. She could have made it free and still balanced the budget. So there's absolutely no excuse for what she's doing, and everybody sees that. And as the Liberals try to spin it and spin it and spin it and dig their heels in and refuse to give the bus pass back, people are just getting angrier and angrier. And our job as New Democrats, we believe, it just like the public, that inclusion is important, that we need to be removing barriers to inclusion. We believe in a free or low-cost bus pass, and we are fighting that every single day. Unfortunately, the Liberals' response to that has been to heckle, to sneer, to call names, and to brush and dismiss this off as something that the NDP is just contrived for political gain, and it really shows that they're not interested in listening to what people around this province are trying to tell them.
We've also heard.
Hey guys, so you were just listening to an interview that we did in March with MLA Michelle Mugel. She was against the transit clawback and the disability benefits increase. We're actually going to continue that interview online. We'll put it on our website so you can check it out. We're running out of time here, but thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the rest of this interview. You can listen to the rest of this interview online. We'll post it up there. Now, before we go, I just want to thank my co-host, John. He's our spoken word coordinator, the Vision Health executives who came in to do an interview, Shanna and Alyssa, and Lauren for helping me create the content for the Trump piece today. Thank you guys for listening. You can like us on Facebook. We're All Access Pass. You can follow us on Twitter under the same name, and on Instagram. We are All Access Pass on Instagram as well. If you want to get involved or suggest a topic to us, we're always open to that. You can email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. We encourage you to tune in next week. We're going to continue with talking about person with disability benefits and what this increase means on kind of a city scale on for people in Vancouver. Now stick around for Synchro City with Marie, and we'll see you next week.
I went to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR and I met the love of my life. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now the president of the Vegan Hot Dog Appreciation Society.
After going to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I've successfully synthesized a vaccine for two left feet. Now everybody can dance.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award.
If you want to change your life, come to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR from 11 to 1 every week. No experience is necessary.
Thank you, Volunteer Wednesdays.
UBC Music Initiative is a student-led club that aims to connect students' music with their community. We host monthly socials for our members to perform in a welcoming environment and to feel more confident in their music abilities. In addition, we offer students on and off-campus performances that allow them to share their talent and passion while giving back to the community. To learn more, take the initiative by liking us on Facebook or emailing us at ubcmusicinitiative@gmail.com.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to